Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus and in the name of the God who made us in the divine image and who calls us to be faithful caretakers of the good creation. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us by our live streamed or our recorded worship. Time and distance may be separating us, and yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, we continue to be the body of Christ up and about and alive and in mission to all people and indeed to the creation as well. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements that we want to share with you this morning. As usual, I want to thank our worship leaders for sharing their gifts this day. And so our special thanks to Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter, to Rick Ripley and Tom Foster, and also a special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and all the staff at Pegasus Natick for their technical expertise that's making this worship possible today. Thanks to all of them. We have a time of candle lighting during our worship that happens just following these announcements. So we invite you to have a candle ready to do that as I light the Christ candle. And also later in our worship this day, we will have a time of ritual action as we have over the season of Lent. And so we invite you to have ready today for that ritual action, some sea glass and a bowl and some water as well that you can pour. As usual, we'll be in prayer today as a worshiping community and lifting up prayer concerns and celebrations of the day. Many of those are found in the bulletin that you will have seen, but we have others as well that will come to us just before this worship and during this worship. And the way that you get those to us, if you'd like them to be included in our worship this day, is for you to email them now to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. So email them to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive them by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our worship this day. Sarah Lynn, I know that you have a few announcements this morning as well.
I do. Thank you. Good morning. So today we will have our normal post-worship fellowship right after worship, and you can get that link from the normal places of our link email newsletter that goes out both on Friday and this morning, or from our website. I do want to let you know it's going to be a shortened fellowship time of just a half hour, because at noon, you are invited to join us to gather to receive a report on the capital campaign feasibility study results. And this is an exciting time when we'll talk about kind of what they found in a feasibility study and talking and interviewing many folks from our congregation. They'll answer questions about a potential campaign and consider next steps. So you're invited to be a part of that conversation. There will be ample time for question and answers and discussion. So please join us at noon following that shortened post-worship fellowship. And I also want to extend a welcome and invitation to all to join us for our midweek connection and prayer. That's on Wednesdays at noon. And it's a time when we gather to share prayer requests and to pray together. And then also just a reminder that Jonathan is always available for pastoral care needs that you may have during the week or at any time. So please feel free to contact him at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org. Or you can reach out to him via his cell phone. And then this is an exciting time in the church when we look to Holy Week approaching. And so we want to remind you that next Sunday is Palm Sunday. So please join us at a regular worship time of 10:30 via our live stream. But that it will be Palm Sunday. And then following that on Thursday, there will be a Maundy Thursday communion service. Saturday is our Easter Vigil. It will be at your own home this year, but you can sign up for a half hour increment and slot on either April 3rd or 4th. And then Easter Sunday, April 4th, to join us for the large celebration of Easter via our live stream at our regular 10:30 time. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. People of God, no sin or brokenness can take from us our identity as God's children of light, or this holy, luminous vocation that we've been given to spread that light in the world. So may this candle lighting represent our acceptance of this identity and our intention to respond with light-filled purpose. In the season of renewal, as we consider the health of humanity, we can't ignore the need to help heal the very planet that we live on and that sustains us. We live amidst the increasing chaos of a beleaguered environment and the hoarding of resources, with the most vulnerable ones among us paying the heaviest cost.
We may want to be saved by something or someone else, but we hear in our scriptures the responsibility to be caregivers and caretakers of the creation ourselves. We hear the call to protect the jewel that is our home, restoring something beautiful from scars of the past and present day injuries. So we take up the vocation of carrying the healing balm for our world in the broken yet holy vessels that we are.
Good morning. For our Lenten song, I'll play it through twice, and feel free to join in singing it on the second time.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, God of the vast universe and the tiniest creature, we marvel at your world. It lifts our spirits, calms our anxious moments, delights our eyes and senses. We rejoice to call you creator, and we lift our voices to praise you. Meet us in this time of communion with you and one another, that we may recall that we are also to be in communion with and loving stewards of all creation. Amen.
Thank you.
I invite us each now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, or perhaps putting our hands over our hearts, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow that conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We are in a time when we cannot pass an offering plate, and yet we continue to be a people who are seeking to be present in the world and being in mission in the world. And one of the ways we do that, in addition to the sharing of our resources of time and energy and skills and talents, is to give of our money resources with which we've been blessed. And so we invite you to continue to be generous. You have been. That's appreciated. It's appreciated because it makes a difference in this good world that we're asked by our loving God to be stewards of. There are many ways to make contributions to the church financially. One, of course, is to write a check and to mail it to the church. But you can also make an online contribution if you desire. You can do that by going to our website at www.firstchurchnatick.org and using our donate button there that will take you to a secure donation link. So we invite you to do that. May what we share of our God-given resources here be a symbol of our desire to be co-caretakers of our world with our Creator God. Let us pray. God of creation, in giving us dominion over all the earth, you called us to be earth's caretaker. May all the earth be blessed through these offerings, that our world might know healing and renewal, and we might praise you for our life and our home. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once upon a time, there was an island paradise, a speck of rock 2,000 miles from anywhere, home to up to 20,000 people, with abundant life and fertile lands and lush plant life, including the world's largest palm trees, over 65 feet tall. And another marvel, 800 massive stone statues called moai, bodies with giant heads standing proudly. Yet within a couple hundred years, these were the only notable feature of the island. By then, only a few hundred people were left there, eking out life from the now rocky and bone-dry soil. That island is Rapa Nui, one of the world's most remote inhabited islands. Called Easter Island, of course, by Westerners, Europeans, because Easter Sunday, 1722, was when Dutch explorer Jacob Roggeveen discovered it. When I was a boy, I was fascinated by this mystery of how those statues had been carved and moved and stood up, and who had done this. And I remember vividly that episode of In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy that posited spacemen, as so often was posited by that show for many mysteries. But it was, of course, the Rapa Nuans themselves that did these things. And yet researchers are still debating the mystery, not just about those impressive statues, but how such a culturally and technologically sophisticated society could have so fallen apart. Now, to be absolutely clear here, after the arrival of Europeans, the Rapa Nuan population was further reduced by that double-edged sword of colonizers everywhere, disease and slavery. So no doubt part of the Rapa Nuan story is the terrible fact of Western oppression. But that still leaves the question of why the population of Rapa Nui took such a nosedive before this cultural contact. A major contribution to understanding this mystery came from Jared Diamond in his book, Collapse, that argues that the Rapa Nuans sowed the seeds of their own demise. They had moved those enormous statues by sliding them along a track of rollers made from trees. In addition to fuel and building material, you could imagine that took a lot of trees. And as the trees went, much else followed. Their roots died. Topsoil was washed away. Rain went unabsorbed. Groundwater unreplenished. Streams and springs dried up. The air became less humid. Rainfall dropped off. Crops failed. People began to starve. And rivalry for scarce resources eventually led to civil war. Tribal superiority was displayed by erecting more statues and toppling those of rival factions. The last trees were cut in a frenzied effort to kind of show off. And lacking the means to make canoes, there was no escape from Wapanui. So I've been thinking how ironic it is that Westerners refer to Wapanui as Easter Island, because Easter Island, of course, is about renewal. But the island's genocide, or excuse me, not the island's genocide, the island's ecocide points to the Wapanuans' downfall as an example of what can happen if human beings and their appetites and behavior go unchecked. So to be clear here, I'm not judging the Wapanuans. We're thinking about this as an example of what can happen. Take their way of life, farming, forestry, building, display. Our own ways of life can be hard to change, like their world. Ours has limited resources. For us too, there is no escape. We may plan colonies on the moon or Mars, but really, Earth is all we've got. These days, we hear a lot about climate change and our role in it. And the fact is, climate change has been behind most of worldwide extinctions that have taken place over the 4.5 billion years that the Earth has been around. As we've increasingly encroached on wilderness lands, the rate of extinction has accelerated. Back in the 70s, 1,000 species a year were going extinct. By the 90s, that had increased to 5,000, and today, dozens and dozens of species are going extinct every single day. Scientists tell us that, well, in the past, mass extinctions of plant and animal life were caused most likely by meteor impacts on the Earth's surface that then raise dust clouds that circled the Earth for years, making the climate hostile. But today, as E.O. Wilson has said, because of our unparalleled contribution to the rate of extinction by several orders of magnitude, we are the meteor. So to be honest, Christianity, well, it's got a pretty poor track record when it comes to the environment. The Bible seems to justify the attitude that nature is less important than humankind's needs. So what do we hear there? We hear, for example, God says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over every living thing that moves on the earth. I'm convinced that the more we emphasize the spiritual over the earthly, that the world is fallen or some kind of illusion, the less concerned that we are going to be about preserving the earth, the easier it is then to exploit creation. But, you know, dominion isn't domination. Dominion isn't domination. Dominion is what? Dominion is, well, it's the power to rule. Domination is something different. Domination is bending things to our will. Those are two really different things. So did God extend to us the right to endanger the creation that God regarded as very good? If we take our exalted position in creation seriously, our question, I think, should be, what have we done with our dominion? What have we done with our dominion? It's clear that in the context of the Genesis creation story, dominion means that we have a special role as creation stewards. The Bible, far from being neutral on the concern for the earth, has explicit attitudes prescribed for human relationship with it and all the beings on it. And it shows us what stewarding creation looks like. So all you need to do is turn to the story of Noah to see this. Noah, we mostly think of this ark story as as an escape story, right? God spares Noah from the flood because why? Because Noah is righteous, right? But this overlooks the ark experience as the moment when Noah can demonstrate just why he is deemed righteous in the first place. Rabbinic tradition says the ark was a kind of laboratory with lessons of attention and care for creation being learned there. So think about it. We think of this maybe as a miracle story, but the miracle, I think, isn't that Noah built the ark when there was no sign of rain at all. No, I think the miracle is something different. The miracle is that he spent an entire year taking care of the animals. Noah emerged from the ark bearing the marks of a righteous one, a sustainer of life. Remember, God put human beings in Eden to do what? To till it and to keep it. To till it and to keep it. The work of caretaking isn't an incidental part of human life. Nurture is the quintessential human vocation. From the biblical or the ecological standpoint, separation from creation isn't sustainable, really. The creation story makes it clear that we are tied to the earth as a delicate mixture of soil and breath. We don't simply live on the earth, but from it and within it as well. The Bible assumes that as we care for the earth, we too are going to be taken care of. And as we promote our own well-being at the expense of the earth, we and the earth are going to suffer. These issues are as alive for us today as they are for some of the descendants of those who managed to hang on, adapting to the degraded environment on Rapa Nui, a population there that now numbers around 5,000. Because today, Rapa Nuans have yet another crisis to try to head off that has to do with this fragile ecosystem of theirs. Current residents are grappling with increasing waves of tourism. The island now has about 150,000 visitors every year. And while such tourism is a boon to the local economy, as one researcher points out, compared to the population of 5,000 and on an island where all the electricity that is made has to be made by generator and where there is water that is precious and being depleted and the infrastructure being stressed, 150,000 people, well, that is a mob, and more are coming every year. So the Rapa Nuans have some choices to make, but honestly, the Rapa Nuans are not so different from us. We only need to turn to Pennsylvania fracking operations, the source of our region's so-called natural gas. Residents are enticed or pressured by big oil or sometimes eager, desperate neighbors of theirs to sell drilling rights on their properties. And some indeed see profits, but there are huge costs. Groundwater and soil contamination, 24/7 lights and noise from construction, and 18-wheelers barreling up and down country lanes, toxic chemical exposure causing severe health effects such as cancer or childhood leukemia or birth defects, and plummeting post-fracking property values that usually negate any short-term profits that homeowners see, property owners see. And of course, there's methane's outsized contribution to climate change. It's 86 more times damaging than carbon in the first 20 years in the atmosphere, leaking all up and down that gas infrastructure, all down the line from where it's extracted to where we combust it to heat our homes and to cook our food. When environmental exploitation is driven by the forces of our political and our economic life, a life of nurture, I think, becomes virtually impossible. Yeah, I wish it weren't true. And I'm not trying to make us all feel awful, but there is literally a line, a pipeline that connects us directly to what we might justifiably call sacrifice zones in Pennsylvania, and to an industry that's selling us the myth that our energy is clean and safe and natural. And so I think we should be asking ourselves if we want to continue to participate in that kind of domination and what it might be mean to resist, and whether we have the will to use every tool we can, legal, political, financial, to pry the grip of the fossil fuel industry from our energy future and to implement clean and healthy and safe, sustainable, equitable solutions that, frankly, we already have. Can we avoid the fate of Easter Island, averting the impact of the meteor that is us? I don't know if that's possible. I don't know, but I do know this. As the former UCC's general minister and president, Reverend John Thomas, said, for the love of the earth and one another, we may not remain indifferent. Humanity is asked to answer a call of stewardship understood as care for and solidarity with God's good creation by becoming informed and increasingly aware, by making different life choices, and by engaging in environmental justice work, integrating a celebration of creation's inherent worth, and inspiring prophetic practice. As good stewards and an Easter people, let us not remain indifferent, but treat the earth as a true Easter island with a recognition that the creation is very good and a desire to delight with God when it flourishes, and a commitment to embracing the image of God that we bear within us, which finds the world worthy of our delight and our care as well. May our loving God make it so. Amen. We come to a time now of being in prayer together, and we have lifted up many of those prayer concerns and celebrations in the insert in the bulletin, and we invite you to take a close look at those. If not right now, then over the course of the week, and to pray for those instances of care that we are calling to each other's attention. As we continue to pray for our caretaking, stewarding role in the creation, we know that there are other prayer concerns and celebrations that are being lifted up, and some of those have come to us today before or during this worship. So I turn now to Wayne Zaretter to let us know about those. Wayne.
Good morning. Prayers for continued healing for Florinda, recuperating from foot surgery and balance challenges. Prayers go out to Rosalie Mascioli for healing of back pain. prayers for patience and perseverance as the vaccine rollout continues. Help us to help those who may need assistance with the process. Lastly, prayers of love and support continue to surround Audra as she received great news after her surgery. With gratitude for the skills and care for her medical team, may she continue to feel the love and care of her friends and family near and far.
Our story of creation, as it is laid out in Genesis, is a wonderful poem with that repeated phrase where God said, "It is good." But that creation has been affected and changed by our misuse of it. It is in danger and in need of healing. As we consider the increasing turmoil of an environment under attack and the waste of natural resources, it's a good time to think back to the time of creation. When God blessed the humans made in God's own image and gave them dominion over this planet, was it God's intent for them or us to destroy it? Was it to be used and abused until it was dead? I say no. How about you? If God intended for humankind to be God's stewards of this earth, what steps can we take to engage in healing our planet? Indeed, the demands of following Jesus are great. He shows us that sometimes we must make extraordinary efforts to move in a new direction. We often hear urgency in Jesus's words. Now is the time to move, no matter how difficult. We cannot wait. What is past is past. There is brokenness and there are casualties in its wake, but we can move forward. We can make changes. So I invite you now to look at your piece of sea glass. We've talked about this as a metaphor for our own brokenness and pain. Now consider how in reality, it is not only a symbol, but an actual part of the brokenness of our planet. Your broken piece of sea glass was once a part of something whole, and then was discarded and became trash on the beach. The action of water and sand smoothed its rough edges and made it beautiful, like a gem. Oops. Take a moment and think on this. And when you're ready, look closely at your piece of sea glass and then pour water over it and see it transformed into a shining gem. Now breathe deeply, inviting that spirit to live and breathe and move in you in a special way to strengthen your resolve and give you courage to protect the jewel that is our home, making something beautiful from scars of the past. Keep your piece of sea glass in a place you can see it regularly this week as a reminder of our role as those who must take care, must care for and contribute to rather than diminish the beauty of this earth.
Let us pray together. Generous provider God, we thank you for the perfect habitat you have provided for us on this earth. We confess that the many disasters we call natural are aggravated by our paltry stewardship of the land. And so stir us up and empower us to embark on the political and economic and lifestyle changes that are needed to preserve this earth as a fit place for all to live. This day, we pray for all who are impacted most by dwindling resources. We pray that we will continue to learn and see and know how our actions affect others, not just ourselves. We give thanks for the wake-up calls that are coming, for example, from our young people who are sounding, and we pray for the fortitude to join their efforts, be led by them. We give thanks for the courage of activists and educators who help us wake up to this storm and see that we have it within our power to calm that storm, to restore the earth's wholeness. We ask for courage and encouragement to reevaluate how we as a church can join this effort now and into the future. We pray that you may not regret having entrusted creation to our care. Show us how to be ever more faithful stewards of this earth. We implore you, in the name of your Son, the healer Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Vessels holy and whole, broken, needing the one, open body and soul, healer come, healer come. Siblings in Christ, let us go forth now to be faithful stewards in God's creation, to enjoy with thanksgiving the beautiful world that God has made, and to care for all creation and creatures with love and with appreciation. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.